بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث number 295 begins a new chapter in the book عمدة الأحكام, which deals with keeping or leaving a will and the ruling on that. Hadith number 295, who will read it for us?
Narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for any Muslim who owns something to stay for a night or two without having his will written and kept ready with him. Rawahu al-Bukhari.
Okay, this hadith by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the ruling of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is not permissible for anyone owns something of value to stay for a night or two, meaning that there is a room for maneuver. The Prophet did not say you have to write it now. A night, two, three nights max. But don't exceed that. You must have this will written. And this is indicated in the Quran. Allah tells us that Allah has mandated upon you, if someone leaves wealth, that he should have a will, in the sense that he should give and say that you should give this and that. And scholars say that writing a will can be mandatory and it can be voluntary. When is writing a will voluntary? They say that when you would like to give something to a friend, to a relative, after your death. So it is recommended that you write something. If you would like to give an advice to your family, so you ask your wife not to weep and cry and do that loudly because this is haram. You would like to keep an advice to your children that you have to observe Salat al-Fajr on time, never delay a prayer, such things that it is recommended, not mandatory. Yet they say when a person has something of wealth and he has no documentation, and if he dies, the wealth is gone or the obligations and responsibilities are lost, in this case, it becomes mandatory. For example, if I lent someone money and I did not take any paper, sometimes you get your friend coming and say, lend me money, and you give him money. Do you every time take documentation of him? No. Is it mandatory to take a paper? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the longest ayah of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَيَّنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنٍ فَاكْتُبُوهُ. This is an order. But at the end, فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Allah says, but if you trust one another, then this is a separate issue. So if someone comes to me and I trust him, it's not mandatory for me to write a document that I lent him this and that. However, it becomes mandatory to write a will so that my family, my heirs, when they come after my death, they would see, this friend of our father, this relative of our father, borrowed so much of him. They have a document proving that. Likewise, if you yourself borrow, and you borrow from a friend, and you don't write him a paper, you should document this, because your friend, after your death, would come and say, I gave your father, I gave your beloved one who died so much and much, and you say, prove it. In this case, so that you would not be held accountable on the day of judgment, you are supposed to write a will of that sort. To have witnessing is not mandatory, as long as your handwriting is fixed and known and people know that done by you, then this is sufficient, inshallah. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, would not leave a night or two without having his will revised and renewed, because he was trading and buying and selling and lending people money. So every day or two, he would revise it and rewrite it again, just to show how careful he was in following the instruction of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. The following hadith, 296.
Narrated Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came visiting me in the year of the last Hajj as I became seriously ill. I told him, "You see what illness I am in, and I am wealthy and have no inheritors except a daughter. Should I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity?" He said, "No." I asked half. He said, "No." I asked 1/3. Then he said, 1/3, and even 1/3 is much. It is better for you to leave your inheritors wealthy rather than leaving them poor, begging others. You will get reward for whatever you spend for Allah's sake, even for what you put in your wife's mouth. I said, "O Allah's Prophet, will I be left alone after my companions have gone?" He said, "If you are left behind, whatever good deeds you will do will upgrade you and raise you high, and perhaps you will have a long life so that some people will be benefited by you while others will be harmed by you. O Allah, complete the emigration of my companions and do not turn them back on their heels." The poor one is Sa'd ibn Khawla. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt sorry for Sa'd bin Khawla as he died in Makkah.
Okay, this hadith has lots of benefits in it, but we would only like to take the part that deals with the topic, which is writing of the will. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the heaven-bound companions, that is, may Allah be pleased with them all. He went to the Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ and fell sick. And he was so sick that he thought that he was dying. So he requested the attendance of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet came to him and visited him. And he told him, "O Prophet of Allah, you see how sick I am." And this shows us that it is not forbidden for one to say to others, "I'm sick." You're not complaining. It is different when someone comes to you and say, "Oh, akhi, I am sick. Look what's wrong with, I'm so heavy. I have this temperature. Allah is punishing me. Why am I feeling..." Now, this is complaining and this is not permissible. But if someone says, "Why didn't you come to school? Why didn't you come to work yesterday?" And you say, "I was sick." This is not complaining and there's nothing wrong in that. And Sa'd was telling the Prophet ﷺ that he has a lot of money and he has only one daughter, meaning that she would inherit a portion. How much? Half. And the wife would take 1/8. And the rest is gone. Gone to who? To his next of kin, his brothers, his nephews, depending, as we will study, inshallah. So he's saying, "Can I donate? Can I write a will? After my death, I will give 2/3 of my money away, either for sadaqah or for someone or for some organization." The Prophet said, alayhi salam, "No." So he said, "Okay, what about half?" Prophet said, "No." Then he said, "What about 1/3? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, 1/3, yes, and still 1/3 is a lot. That is why there is a hadith by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and with his father, that he recommended that whoever writes a will would not exceed 1/4. Although 1/3 was approved by the Prophet ﷺ, yet it was not recommended, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1/3 is a lot. So it's best to go under 1/3, and what is under 1/3? 1/4. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam justified this and saying that if you write a will with 1/3 or more than 1/3, who is being harmed most? The family you leave behind, the heirs. Because if you have this much and you give 2/3, this means that this is a portion that they will inherit. But if you give this much, then the portion is more. If you leave a will of 1/4, this means that they'll have 3/4. It's a lot. That is why the Prophet said, alayhi wasalam, to leave them rich, better than writing a will, spending your money everywhere else, and leaving them poor, begging people. They go to people and beg them for something. And the Prophet is telling him that don't worry about the money you leave behind, because this is considered to be charity if you intend it to your family, to your children. And even what you put in your wife's mouth is considered to be charity. Any morsel of food you put in your wife's mouth, this is considered as charity. So Sa'd went on to complain, saying to the Prophet, O Prophet of Allah, is it possible that I will die in Mecca and be left behind? My companions would leave me. Why is he afraid of dying in Mecca? He was afraid of dying in Mecca, and the Prophet ﷺ did not also feel good about that, because Sa'd ibn Khawla, who was a companion, who was among those who witnessed Badr, yani of the great companions, he went for Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ and also died in Mecca. And the Prophet is saying that poor one is Sa'd ibn Khawla. He died in Mecca. So what's wrong in dying in Mecca? The scholars say that the Prophet ﷺ and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and the majority or all of the companions felt that whoever dies in the place they migrated from, that this would reduce their reward. And that is why no one returned to Mecca after it was conquered by the Prophet ﷺ on the which year? On the 8th year of Al-Hijrah. When it was conquered by the Prophet ﷺ, those who migrated never went back and said, oh, alhamdulillah, now we can go back to our town. Because they migrated for the sake of Allah, they would not go back to the place they have migrated from so that their reward would not be deducted. And that is why Sa'd was afraid of dying in Mecca. We have a short break. Stay tuned, inshallah. We'll be right back.